Please take your Bibles and go to Acts 16. Acts 16 to begin. While you're turning there, a couple of nights ago we were looking at Jesus Christ praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, where when he prayed he said, "Nevertheless, not my will be done, but thy will be done." And what a wonderful attitude and humble attitude that is to pray that God's will be done. In other words, we don't pray to direct God what he should do, hand him a to-do list, but rather we ask God, what is his will? God, what do you want me to do? Father, is there some information that I need to know? What's best for me in this situation, Father? What do I do? I need your help. And in Acts chapter 16, to kind of follow along what Doug was sharing just a little bit ago, the Apostle Paul and company were, as he mentioned, moving the word dynamically. And in verse 6 of Acts 16, it says, "Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia." My goodness. Can you think of something better to do than go into Asia and preach the word? God said, no, don't go in there. That's the information from God. That's, you know, that was their answer to prayer. No, don't go in there. And verse 7 says, "After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not." They were all excited. Let's get in there to Bithynia. Man, we're going to move the word. And they got an answer. No, don't go in there. So just because we have an idea, you know, not every idea or thought we get is from the Lord. So it's good to check with the Lord. So what do you think about this, Father? No, don't go there. Okay. All right. So they just continued in prayer. They kept praying, kept asking. And verse 8, "They passing by Mysia came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.' And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." And as you know, they left, went to Philippi, and you know the details of the rest of the chapter there. Really wonderful. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. We want to pray and ask God what his will would be. And if we have some wonderful ideas and things we want to do, then we can check with him. "Father, could I have some information on this? Can you help me with this? Is this best for me?" And then when we pray, we ought to be expecting an answer. And the reason we ought to expect an answer, because verse 13 says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." That's pretty good. It's God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God working within. So God can certainly, like we've been talking about, prayer as a continual conversation. It's not a one-way conversation, that God can give us information. And also along with this verse, you may remember a verse in Thessalonians. Let's look at that. Keep your finger here a second. Go to 1 Thessalonians 2. It's not too far away. 2:13, familiar verse. "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which you heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believe." So both the Spirit of God as well as the word of God. And back in Philippians, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings." And the all things is talking about God working in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. And the murmurings and disputings are outward complainings and harboring complaining inside. So, you know, we get some information from God, we ought to carry it out. You know, like, I think the best example is the one that was read just a while ago. Jesus Christ steadfastly set his face for Jerusalem. That's it, doing the will of God. Go to Luke 11. I wanted to share this morning on continuing in prayer, persevering in prayer. Or maybe a better way to say it would be just keep on praying. Keep on praying. Luke 11, verse 1. And it came to pass that as he, the Lord Jesus Christ, was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Would you teach us how to pray? You must have saw him praying all the time. Well, teach us how to pray. You know, John taught his disciples, would you teach us? And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And this, is, of course, is referred to as the Lord's Prayer, and this we already handled this earlier this week, so I'd like to continue on. But remember what the context is here. The context is, teach us to pray. Verse 5, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves at midnight. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. We're in Luke 11. Bless you. A friend of mine is in his journey and is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. So it's midnight, and a guy's friend arrives. Hey, how you doing? Had a long trip. Got getting in kind of late. and I'm out of food. But don't worry, I got a buddy. So then he goes to his friend's house, knocking on the door at midnight. Hey, I need some food. A buddy of mine just got in. It's midnight, I know, but I need some food. And verse 7, he from within shall answer and say, are you nuts? Is your clock broke? Do you know what time it is? Knocking on my door at midnight? Trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I can't do this. I'm not going to disturb everybody, get my whole household up at midnight. Then verse 8 says, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend. You know, he's his good buddy, you know, maybe they're fishing partners, maybe they just hang out, they're close friends, but here's where we draw the line. We're not going to disturb my whole family at midnight. You know, I'm still going fishing with you next weekend, but we're not going to disrupt. He would not do that just because he's a friend. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, the guy outside, his importunity, he, the guy inside, will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Sometimes people read the Bible real fast and just read that as because of his opportunity. It's not opportunity, it's importunity. And the word importunity means a shameless, persistent asking. A shameless, persistent asking. It's persistent because it does not cease. He ain't going away. God, I need 3 loaves. Did you fall back asleep? I need 3 loaves. This guy's starving. I don't want him to come over here too. It's persistent and it's shameless because it doesn't matter how awkward it is, what time it is, how uncomfortable it is, how embarrassing it is. It's shameless, persistent asking. Or maybe a way to communicate it would be telemarketer. Is anyone in here? A telemarketer? I did telemarketing once for a while, for about 3 or 4 months, and I can absolutely tell you it was shameless, persistent asking. We would call early in the morning, and I still remember this guy from Georgia that I called at a hardware store trying to sell pens to. You know, you have this spiel, you know, you answer your phone, you get the spiel. He went, "Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to set the phone down, you go ahead and keep talking, and when you're done, hang up." I didn't keep going. I just laughed and said, "Thank you, goodbye." But keep in mind the context here. They've asked Jesus Christ, "Teach us how to pray." And he shares with them, you know, the manner of praying by addressing God as our Father and how wonderful God is and some of these things. But he continues on and tells him this. And I say, verse 8, "Though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, that shameless, persistent asking, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you," continuing with the context, "ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." We ought to be expecting answers to our prayers. God bless you. Charles Williams, in his translation, translates these two verses as follows. "And I say unto you, keep on asking, and it shall be given you. Keep on seeking, and ye shall find. Keep on knocking, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that keeps on asking, receives. And he that keeps on seeking, findeth. And to him that keeps on knocking, it shall be opened." This really fits with the context here of the example of importunity, doesn't it? Sure does. A persistent, shameless asking. And this also fits with a number of other verses that we'll look at. Look at Luke 18. Luke chapter 18. I think we mentioned earlier that Jesus Christ was not only was he a man of prayer, but he also on a number of occasions taught people how to pray, encouraged people to pray. Verse 1 of chapter 18, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." This is good because we don't have to really try to figure out the meaning of the parable. Tells us right off the bat, this is what the parable is about. "Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man." Be glad he's not your neighbor. He doesn't fear God, has absolutely no respect at all for God, and doesn't really care for anybody else either. And he's a judge. And there, verse 3, "There was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. I need the justice to be done here. I need you to take care of it." And he would not for a while. But afterward, he said within himself, "Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." I'm getting sick of this woman. You know, he'd get on his computer in the morning, check his email. 75 emails. Sender, widow woman. Subject, avenge me. Delete, 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 delete. He'd get on his answering machine at home, there'd be 50 messages. "Hi, widow woman here. I really need to be avenged." In the mail, you know, 20 postcards. "Hi, widow woman, please avenge me." Everywhere he goes, she's popping up out of the bushes. "Please avenge me." Verse 5, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? And I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? The point of the parable is what? Always pray and not faint. In other words, keep on praying. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. We keep praying until we get the answer. We just keep praying and praying and praying. Take a look at Acts 6. Acts chapter 6. Fainting would be to get discouraged, to quit, to give up. I prayed, nothing happened. Good, keep on praying, keep praying, keep praying until you get the answer. Continue praying. And, you know, there's so much of persistent, continuous prayer recorded in God's Word. We'll look at a few verses here. In Acts chapter 6, the number of disciples was multiplied, and then there was the problem with the Grecians against the Hebrews because of the widows. And so verse 2, the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it's not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. Both. Both were very important that they had enough time to spend that time in prayer, continually praying and ministering God's word. In Romans 12, Romans chapter 12, which is addressed to us, all the born again ones. Romans 12. Romans 12, 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation or mental pressure, continuing instant in prayer. Continuing instant in prayer. The word continuing instant is one word in the Greek. It means constantly diligent, or to persevere, or attend assiduously, or attend continually. Attend on it continually. It's the same word that was used in Acts 6:4 that we just looked at, where the apostle said, we will give ourselves continually to prayer. So God is telling us, the born-again ones, to be constantly diligent in prayer, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, in the mental pressure, and then continuing instant in prayer. And this is in Romans, foundational epistle to the born-again believers. And you know, God does not ask us to, if we have a few spare moments in our very busy day, when you get a chance and think about it, throw up a few seconds of prayer. It could be helpful. I mean, this is a little bigger than that when you read continuing instant in prayer, to keep on praying, keep praying. And this really lines up what Jesus Christ taught, what we just looked at, that men ought to always pray and not faint. And it also lines up with that importunity, that consistent, the persistent, shameless asking. Keep on praying. Look at Ephesians 6. We looked earlier at how the Lord Jesus Christ was certainly not exempt from praying. And we're not exempt by any means. God continues to lovingly remind us to pray, 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 pray. Prayer then must be necessary. Prayer must be needful. Prayer must be very vital. And it is. In Ephesians 6:18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We pray always, we continue to pray and watch thereunto, expecting to see answers. And the context of this, verse 18, is putting on the whole armor. It's part of putting on the whole armor. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Well, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now there's some armor, isn't it? Sure. And putting on the whole armor of God, then, prayer must be very important and vital in standing against the wiles of the adversary. To pray. And it says praying always. Colossians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians 14, the Apostle Paul said, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. There is some persistent prayer. There's some persevering in prayer. There's a lot of praying in the Spirit. A lot. But he, by revelation, told the Corinthian believers, I thank my God, I speak in tongues more than y'all. And, you know, he wasn't bragging. I mean, he wrote it by revelation. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. God said, tell them you speak in tongues more than y'all. They probably read that and went, wow, I'm going to start speaking in tongues. I mean, it seems like every time I read that verse, I'm like, oh, I'm going to start speaking in tongues. Let's get it cranking here. It's very inspiring when you read something like that. But persistence in prayer. Keep on praying. Faint not. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Verse 3, we give thanks. Colossians 1:3, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Continuing to pray, being instant in prayer, just continuing to pray. Boy, this really, you know, before I got in the Word and stuff, about the only thing I knew about praying was right before you ate something, which there was a pre-prescribed prayer, and then the other thing would be, you know, children should say their prayers before they go to bed. You know, go to bed, say your prayers, they say their prayers. You know, that's pretty much the extent of prayer for a lot of people. But boy, as born-again sons of God, God is showing us how necessary, how vital, how important it is to pray a lot, to continue in prayer, to be instant in prayer, praying always. Look at verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. I think we had a verse earlier this week, every remembrance of you, I pray for you. Boy, think about that. Every time you think of someone, to pray for them. Boy, that'll fill your day in a hurry, won't it? Chapter 4. Chapter 4. Verse 2. Can I stop now? Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Continue praying. Just keep on praying. And you know, that would, you know, also include if there's something you're praying specifically for, don't faint about it. Just keep praying. And prayer for believers, keep praying for the believers. Prayer for whatever we pray for, we just keep praying about it. We're men and women of prayer. We're praying kind of people. You know? We pray a lot. And isn't it great we've got speaking in tongues? Because we can pray anywhere at any time. You know, I mean, if you're in a public place, you might not want to pray out loud in front of people. You know, but you know, we can silently speak in tongues wherever we are, whatever we're doing, and know that we're making perfect prayer, perfect intercession, praising God. We're praying in the Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? It's terrific. We have two great levers of prayer. How about chapter 14? Look at this wonderful believer. Chapter 4, verse 12. Chapter 4, verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salutes you. Epaphras said to say hi, how's it going? God bless. Always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. What a wonderful man Epaphras was, a great man of prayer, and he just prayed for the believers at Colossae. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. So, just looking at a few verses here this morning, and God's Word really encourages us to keep on praying. Just keep praying. Don't faint. Keep praying. Be like the widow woman. Keep praying. Keep asking. Keep knocking. Continual in prayer. Just keep on praying. Keep on praying. 3:10. Night and day, praying exceedingly, that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Night and day, praying exceedingly. Just keep on praying. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. There's a lot in the Bible about prayer, isn't there? There is. And for God to have so much of it in the seven church epistles, does He just want to keep us busy because He's afraid we'll get idle? That we don't have enough to do? Or is it really important? Is it really necessary? Is it really effectual? The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So as men and women of prayer, we can expect to avail much as we continue instant in prayer. And verse 11. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power. Praying always for you. Keep on praying. A verse we're probably real familiar with, pray without ceasing. Expect answers from God, and we pray till we get them. And I'd like to close by reading this quote from George Mueller. I'm sure you've heard it, but I thought now would be a wonderful time just to read it. You've probably heard it before, but after all that we've seen so far this week, I think it'll just really bless us to hear it. I live in the spirit of prayer. I pray as I walk, when I lie down, and when I rise. And the answers are always coming. Tens of thousands of times have my prayers been answered. When once I am persuaded that a thing is right, I go on praying for it. The great point is never to give up till the answer comes. The great fault of the children of God is they do not continue in prayer. They do not persevere. If they desire anything for God's glory, they should pray until they get it. So let's keep on praying, okay?